Parshas Lech Lecha discusses Hashem's command to Avram to leave the land he's presently in and travel to the land which Hashem will show him. Now, this is an interesting story to analyze in its own right, but in what way is it relevant, is it timely to us in whatever time we are in? In what way is this story timely now, whenever now may be? If now is 2021, if now is 1950, if now is 1800, if now is the year 2200. Most of us don't have conversations with Hashem. Most of us don't hear commands from Hashem. And most of us don't engage in physical journeys from one land to another. So what's the message of Parshas Lech Lecha for us now? So the Rebbe explains in a Sicha, in Likutei Sichas Chelek Aleph, that Lech Lecha is the story of the soul's journey. And therefore, it is a ever-present, ever-timely story for every human being. It's the soul's journey from above to below. It tells the story of the mind descent, of the evolution of consciousness from a spiritual realm to the realm that we currently inhabit, to being an embodied soul. But perhaps more actionably, it also tells a story, Lech Lecha also tells a story of the soul's journey above. The story of the embodied soul rising out of its lower state of consciousness and rising to a higher state of consciousness. And in that sense, Lech Lecha is not necessarily about going somewhere else physically, but it's going somewhere else internally. It's going to a higher place, going to a higher state of consciousness, going to a higher state of being, and not being satisfied to remain where we are. In this year, we're going to explore the text of Likutei Sichas Chelek Aleph, the first sicha for Lech Lecha, which comes from a sicha the Rebbe said in the year Tafshin Yud Dalid, which here is the year 1954. The Rebbe writes, Eshtet Asar Nesedis Nisnas Avram Levinu. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos Parakei tells us in its list of tens that Avram was confronted by 10 trials. Ainu from the Eresh Nisyonis, one of the 10 trials, when Efshar Oich from the Gresta, and perhaps one of the greatest, is the Nisayon from Or Kasdan, is the trial of the Chaldean fire. From the Estvegen, Abaverte, Dozik and Nisayon, Termont, Nerte Beferush, Nerblois, Durech Aremes. There's a story that we learn in Bereishis Rabbah and many other Midrashim about the fact that Nimrod threw Avram into a burning furnace. But the Rebbe says that this trial is not mentioned directly in the Torah. It's only mentioned by Remez. It's only mentioned in a way of a hint when the Torah tells about Or Kasdim, Or of the Chaldeans, and Or in Aramaic means fire. So Chazal learned from that that Avram was thrown into a fire by the Chaldeans by Nimrod. But Pshuta Shel Mikra, says the Rebbe, this story does not appear. So the first story, the first trial that we learn that Avram had to undergo is this week's parsha. The Eresh Nisayin Ve'al L'chaver T'Teirish D'Mant N'Teirish D'Nisayin V'Lechom Me'aretzcha U'Mi'im Eladcha U'Mi'im Beis Avicha. The very first trial that Torah explicitly mentions is the trial of go for yourself out of your land, your birthplace, and the house of your father. K'men Zagin Atam Evdem V'al D'In V'Lechom Me'aretzcha G'Emir is Feran Der Avayit Fun Yedin Mention Sayin L'Mayil L'Mata Sayin L'Mata L'Mayil Un Sayin L'Mata Untin Gufa. The Rebbe says perhaps the reason why Or Kasdim is not mentioned, whereas Lech Lecha is mentioned explicitly in the Torah, is because Lech Lecha is a more directly actionable story for everyone. It's part of everyone's work. It's part of everyone's spiritual journey, unlike the story of Or Kasdim, which might have a little bit more of an abstract symbolism. And the Rebbe says that this Lech Lecha is going to be true of both Milmai Lamata, with respect to the soul's journey from above to below, and Milmata Milo, with respect to the soul's journey from below to above, something that we're about to explore. In Kurz und Mentas, shortly speaking, in summary, this is what this means, that Lech Lecha is relevant to the soul's journey from above to below and from below to above. Although it's the case, the Rebbe is going to give us quite a long explanation and actually quite a complex one, relative to Likutei Sichas, this is going to be a more Kabbalistic Sicha, or at least trade in more Kabbalistic terminology. In the Minyan from the Yeridus from the Shamal Lamata and Aguf, With respect to the neshama's descent into a body, we find two polar opposites. Aleph, the Mishnah Begiyavos tells us, Al korchoch atochai, you live in this world against your will. Val dem das leben von der neshama in aguf, is a zwangzach for the neshama. The neshama is living in the body is in a manner of being forced, and the neshama does not want to be in the body. Vrum din neshama, eduzi nidderup in aguf, because the neshama, before it lowers down to a body, is chatsuva mitachas kisei hakavod. It's hewn from under the throne of glory. Is das an energy nidderke madreg in their neshama. And that is only the lowest level of neshama. The lowest level of neshama is hewn from below the throne of glory. But there's a higher level of neshama. The neshama is completely pure and even higher than that. And ultimately, Chassidus tells us that the neshama is completely one with divinity, it's completely one with Hashem. And we're saying the lowest level in the neshama is hewn from under the throne of glory, which of course is a symbolic teaching, which the Rebbe doesn't unpack its meaning here, but certainly it is explained in Chassidus and explained in the writings of Kabbalah and the Sefer HaKadosh. But the point being that the neshama is a very lofty, holy, sublime entity. The mind is a very deep entity. So therefore, it's pretty clear why the neshama does not want to come down here. Because coming down to this world is for the neshama a great descent. Befrat, and specifically, like the Friedrich Rebbe taught in a sicha from the year Tof Reish Tzadi Dalid, from the year 1934. Before the neshama comes down to this world, the heavenly court shows the neshama Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, and Gehenim shows the neshama, the realm of hell. Kedezizol vissin vas ziat zutan if develt. In order that the neshama knows what it should do in the world, so it should go to Gan Eden and not chas hashalom to Gehenim. The ribir is the erup nidrin for the neshama. So baleb and aguf at tzvangin azach by the neshama. Therefore, the lowering down of the neshama to enliven a body is something that the neshama would prefer not to do. It's as if it's forced. Al korchoch atochai. Against your will do you live. For the Tzaytet Zayit Albir, is dit kokendik was the Yerida is a Zagreus, kumt in Shamadavke, Duruch Rilz Gerida, so Madrege Veleche is nor hecher, these is given free. For the Bustar Maimer, Yerida Tzarech Aliyah. But although it's the case that the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us, Al korchoch atochai, it also tells us, Al korchoch atomis. Against your will do you die, which simply means to say that once the neshama is already in the body, the neshama doesn't want to leave. But Chassidus explains in a deeper way that the neshama does not want to leave the body because being embodied, being an embodied consciousness as opposed to a disembodied consciousness, being an embodied mind as opposed to a disembodied mind actually allows the neshama to achieve much greater heights than it would have been able to achieve were it merely on its own. And here the Rebbe quotes the oft-quoted Maimon in Chassidus that the neshama's descent into the body is Yirida Tzorech Aliyah, a descent for the sake of elevation. The Dazaketzvei Nyonim Zayin Merum is in the Pasuk Lecha Meretzav Meladcha Misavicha El Ha'oretz Asher Ereka. These two polarities, on the one hand, the fact that the neshama needs to descend from its lofty place to go down, and on the other hand, the neshama ultimately needs to leave the body, are both symbolized in the pasuk of Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, go for yourself from your land and from your birthplace, Omi Beis Avicha, and from your father's house, El Oret Shareka, to the land that I, Hashem, shall show you. For the remainder of this Ois, for the remainder of this section of the Sicha, the Rebbe is going to discuss the evolution of the soul's consciousness as the neshama, as the mind, as the consciousness, as the soul, descends from its heavenly source, descends from its place in the realm of pure consciousness to the realm of physical embodiment. Me'artzecha, the word from your land. What does that symbolize, says the Rebbe? Meint vi, the neshama state in their bechinafun ratzon elyon. That refers to the neshama as it stands in the property of divine will. Was das is hecher from them, was a state in Tanya, which is higher than that which it says in Tanya, Perek Beis, as the neshama nemzich and chochmei love suv chamasei echad, that the neshama derives from divine wisdom. V'rum rotzin is hecher fun chochma, because rotzin is higher than chochma. So what does this mean? So there is a yisoyed in Chassidus, a principle in Chassidus, that mibsari echzel leka, based on the pasuk in Iyov, which says that from my flesh, from myself, can I perceive God. So Chassidus explains this, or at least Chassidus Chabad explains this to mean that through contemplating on the human body and contemplating on the human psyche, we're able to understand the divine psyche. Of course, it doesn't mean that we can understand the ultimate divine reality, but Sefer Yetzirah tells us that there are three dimensions. Most people are only familiar with two, but Sefer Yetzirah tells us that there are three. The three are Olam Shana Nefesh. Olam means world, and that refers to space. Shana refers to time, and that literally means year, but you have time and space. And the third dimension of reality, says Sefer Yetzirah, is Nefesh, which means consciousness. Now you, or I, any human, is a limited window of consciousness. But, says Sefer Yetzirah, says Chassidus, there is a super consciousness in the universe, and that is Hashem. Meaning it's not ultimately Hashem, Hashem is not limited to that super consciousness. Of course, he transcends that super consciousness. However, there is such a consciousness in the universe. So now, we know that the neshama expresses Hashem in this world. But what level of divine consciousness does it express? So the Rebbe here is saying that when it says Mei Artzecha, from your land, the Rebbe, as Chassidus often does, analyzes the term Mei Artzecha, from your land, in terms of the word Ratzin, in terms of the word will. Eretz Ratzin. They share a lot of letters. So the idea here, the Rebbe says, is that although it's the case that in Tanya, Perek Beis, we learn that the neshama derives from divine wisdom, derives from Chochmas Yisbarach. Here, what the Torah is telling us is that the neshama is an expression of the divine will in the world. Now, moving back to the psychological metaphor that we mentioned before, that the divine psyche or the expression of the divine psyche in the world mirrors the human psyche. So Chassidus explains that rotzin, that will, is higher than chachma. What you desire is higher than your intellect. Now, just to clarify, in Chassidus, chachma is not intellect per se, but it's more the bridge between the preconscious or the subconscious and the conscious. Chachma is the flow of ideas into the mind from the place of no ideas, from the place that's beyond intellect, that's beyond ideas. The idea would be, sometimes if you're trying to understand the concept, or sometimes you're thinking about something, you don't have an idea. You're not aware. Meaning, let's say a person is trying to solve a problem. Let's say you're trying to solve a problem in life, and you're thinking about this problem in life, you go to sleep on it, and the next day, you have some insight. Or let's say you're trying to solve a math problem, or you're trying to learn a challenging tosfos, trying to learn a challenging sugya, and you think about it, and you think about it, and you think about it, and you can't achieve clarity in that sugya. And then ultimately, you have a flash of insight, and you have an idea. Now, the idea is not fully formed, hasn't fully emerged, but at least the idea is semi-articulate. So that would be chachma. Now, one might think that the intellect is the highest faculty in humanity, that people are controlled by their intellect. But we all know that's not true. Meaning, because if we reflect on our lives more deeply, we'll see that's what's ultimately driving a person's desires is what they want. It's ratzin. Now, there is a deeper analysis here of human motivation, which is discussed in Chassidus in many places. But for our purposes, let's just agree that what you want is ultimately a deeper driver in your consciousness than what you think. It's ultimately a deeper driver than your intellect. Although it's the case that your intellectual calculus might be able to control in some respects and allow you to override your desires, nonetheless, what you want touches a deeper place in your consciousness than what you think, than what you're aware of. So with that understanding, the Rebbe is saying that Nei Artzecha, referring to Ratzin, means to say that the neshama, that the human soul, the human consciousness in this world, expresses the divine will, or it is ultimately an expression of divine will in the world. Das is euch der Inin was gesagt in Tanya, that also helps explain what it says in Tanya Perek Lamed Beis, Shekulon Masimis, that all Jewish souls are in accordance with one another. Whereas the Rebbe here translates it, Allah Zayn and Gleich, they're all equal. The Av Echad the Kulano, and they all have one father. The Rebbe says here that that refers to the level of consciousness where all neshamas are one. And why are they all one? Because every neshama, no matter the particular expression of your neshama, and every neshama ultimately will express itself differently, but the Rebbe is saying at a core level, at a deeper level of consciousness, all neshamas equally express the divine will, all express the Ratzon Elyon, and similarly, they all express the Chochma Ilah, they all express the divine intuition. Umimeladtecha umibeis avicha, and from your birthplace in the house of your father, is vinisham shteit in the Sirius Chachma and Bina. That refers to as the neshama as it stands, or as it expresses the spheres of Chachma and Bina. Leida, birth, is dach fun av ve'ein. That happens through a father and a mother. And symbolically, archetypally speaking, what an av and ein express, what father and mother express, thus Chachma is av. Chachma refers to av, when Bina is ein. And Bina refers to the mother. This is further expressing how the neshama expresses the divine consciousness in the world and showing how we, as we flow down through the Siris, the neshama goes from a place of abstraction, from a place of simplicity, to a place of greater articulation, greater complexity, and greater definition. Just to unpack the Kabbalah here, so what it means that the neshama derives from Chachma and Bina is that Chachma, as we said before, refers to the first intuitive grasp of an idea, the emergence of an idea within our minds. It could also be an idea that we've taken from elsewhere, but generally speaking, Chachma is an idea that emerges within your own consciousness. But very often that idea is not very articulate, it's not very defined, and Bina is the act of analysis. Bina is the act of spelling out the implications of the idea, fully understanding the idea. Chachma will generally entail bittul, will entail self-nullification, because you're engaging in the act of receiving an idea from elsewhere. Whereas Bina will generally be related with yeshus. It'll generally be associated with the ego, since you are spelling out the implications of the idea, you're understanding the idea in your own terms. Now, why is it the case that Chochma refers to Av, refers to the father, and Bina refers to the Aim, refers to the mother? So here, we're using the metaphor of conception, we're using the metaphor of birthing, where it is that the father, the male, only provides, so to speak, a dot, only provides an incoherent mass of material in the birthing process, whereas, although it's the case that the female, the mother, will also share in that process, ultimately it's the female, it's the feminine, who causes that incoherent mass to become defined, to turn into a more detailed creation, and to have individuation of cells until ultimately you have the birth of a fully individuated individual. And the Rebbe clarifies, Meiladtecha, your birthplace, is the neshama, is vid neshama state, the sphere of Chachma, is the neshama as it stands in the sphere of Chachma. When Beis Avicha, and the house of your father, refers to vid neshama state in their sphere from Bina, as neshama stands in the sphere of Bina, from Av, vigizakt, is Chachma. Because although it's the case that Av, father, refers to Chachma, aber Beis Av, Abayis, a house, una klitzu Av, is Bina. and a vessel and a receptacle for the father is bina. So Mailatecha, the Rebbe is analyzing, is the place that's responsible for your emergence. And as we explained in the metaphor, that would refer to the masculine, that would refer to the father. And base avicha means that which is responsible for receiving the father, for housing the father, for causing the father's influence to actually be able to be articulated. So base avicha refers to mother. So just to review, lech lecha me'artzecha umi me'latecha umi base avicha is the command of Atzmus, of Hashem himself, of divinity, to the neshama, to emerge from its place of spiritual abstraction and to begin a state of enclothement and expression and definition. It first begins to express the divine will, then it expresses divine intuition, articulate divine intuition, and then it takes that intuition and expresses it in the realm of analysis. Now the Rebbe is going to give us another symbolic interpretation of this pasuk of lech lecha mi'artzecha umi'meladcha umi'beisavicha in terms of other spheres, but again further expressing this idea that the consciousness goes from a place of complete abstraction and a place of unity with Hashem as Hashem is undefined, and instead begins to articulate and emerge in a defined form. So if an ander oifen, in another mood, we can interpret the pasuk as follows. Meilatecha, your birthplace, is kittel be'vesiris. That includes both spheres of chokhma and bina. Velechazayin and meilit, which cause birthing. Beis avicha is didi neshama gefinzich in siris amalchus. And beis avicha refers to the neshama as it is expressed in the sphere of malchus. That refers to bina, za, and nukva. Okay, so let's explain what this means. Here the Rebbe just explaining further how you have a neshama, which is completely abstract. It is a chelek elikami mal mamosh. It is divinity itself from above. And it comes into the form of spheres. It expresses itself in a human consciousness. It expresses itself in an evolved consciousness and is thereby expressing itself in a limited form. So Rebbe is analyzing it like this. Me'artzecha still refers to ratzin. That still refers to will, which, as we said, on a basic level, is, the, according to Teres Chabad, the driver of human consciousness. Of course, it's more complex than that, but on a basic level, you do what you want. Everything is organized about what you want. Even your seichel is a meshuchad, Teres Chabad says. Your seichel, your intellect, is bribed by your desires. Your desires will organize your opinions. They'll organize the way you think. They'll organize your analyses. Mimeilatecha, now, the Rebbe is telling us, refers to the conjunction of chokhmah and bina, which we explained at length before. And umi beis avicha, now the Rebbe is telling us, refers to the conjunction of zah and nukva. So what are zah and nukva? These are further levels in the evolution of consciousness. Zah refers to the spheres of chagas nehi. Chassidus tells us that chagas refers to the triad of spheres which are responsible for emotions. And in Hasidic psychology, the emotions flow from the intellect. Now, it could be the case that your intellect is a very limited intellect. It's a very meager intellect. So the emotions which emerge from that intellect are going to be very meager emotions. And the intellect is not necessarily going to be very clear. And if you have a small child who cries about the fact that his sister is playing with his Legos while he's occupied with other Legos, but the fact that she's playing with his Legos makes him very sad, there is an intellectual calculus there. It's a very weak intellectual calculus, it's a very limited intellectual calculus, but it is an intellectual calculus nonetheless. Or if you have a cow and the cow makes a angry face when you feed it bitter grass or when you put it by bitter grass, there too, the cow has a reason that it doesn't want to eat the bitter grass. the cow realizes that it wants sweet grass, it wants tasty grass. And in the cow's very limited mind, it doesn't like the bitter grass. So the cow has an emotional response, although it's a very, very weak, a very limited, a very lowly emotional response, but it is a emotional response nonetheless. A degraded emotional response, but an emotional response. But the point being that Zah, going back to Zah, Zah refers to the conjunction of the emotional triad of spheres, Chagas, and the instinctive triad of spheres, Nehi, which means Netzach Hoidisait. And these are a further level of the articulation of consciousness that happens in the neshama. And finally, you have nukva, and nukva, which means female or the feminine, in this context refers to the culmination of the neshama's evolution, the culmination of consciousness's evolution within the world of machshava, dibur, and maisa. Nukva malchus generally refers to machshava, dibur, maisa, actualization, thought, speech, and action. And of course, your thought, speech, and action will ultimately be a product of the entire chain of the evolution of consciousness. What you want, your intellect, your emotions, and your instincts. Now, the Rebbe is further going to explain this evolution of consciousness within a different register. Thus far, we explained it in terms of the spheres of the evolution, the spheres from pshitus, from simplicity, from pure will, down through the various levels of articulation of consciousness, but broadly speaking, through the triadic structures of the intellect, the emotion, the instinct, and finally, the world of actualization. Now, the Rebbe is going to explain this in terms of the four Kabbalistic worlds, the four worlds discussed in Kisvei HaRizal and alluded to in the Zohar HaKadosh. But we should bear in mind that these worlds are not places you can go to on a spaceship. They're not places in physical reality, but they are present everywhere within physical reality. They permeate physical reality, and these are places that you can become aware of in consciousness. As in, they are currently there at all times with you, wherever you are. The question is merely, at what level of consciousness are you engaging? Generally, most of us are engaging in a more superficial level of consciousness. We're in a more superficial way of connecting with reality. But Kabbalah and Chassidus tell us that it is possible to rise to higher levels of consciousness, higher levels of being within reality, and it terms these, metaphorically speaking, worlds, because when you go to one of these other worlds in your consciousness, you're having a very different perspective, a very different interface with reality. But here, the Rebbe is not telling us about the ascent to these worlds, which is part of the Aveda of Chassidus, the famous letter of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov discusses his ascent to the higher worlds, and very often Chassidus will tell us about the Baal Shem Tov's trips to the world of Yetzirah. And in that letter of the Baal Shem Tov, Mashiach tells the Baal Shem Tov that Mashiach will come when everybody is capable of taking these trips and making these ascents of going to higher realms, just like the Baal Shem Tov was. But here, the Rebbe is not talking about the idea of ascent, but rather he's talking about descent. He's talking about the neshama as it comes down from its very high, its very lofty source, to come down to a lower place. So the Rebbe says as follows: the Yidrei Oibin der Monta Madregis Neshama Zayin Eicharan V'Zayin Indem Seder Eilemus. These three levels of consciousness, which we discussed before, are also present in the order of the evolution of worlds, which, as we explain, are these different modes of consciousness. Me Artzecha. What does Me Artzecha mean? V'in neshama shteit nachecher von olam atzilus. It's as neshama is higher than the world of atzilus, and the world of atzilus is the articulation of the subconscious. So that would be neshama as it is higher than the articulation of the subconscious. Me Ladecha. Vid neshama state in olam atzilus, from the shayish and al neshamas, is in atzilus. Miladcha refers to the neshama as it's in the world of atzilus, because the source of all neshamas is in atzilus. That would mean the neshama as it is in the state of the articulate subconscious. Vos in Atzilus Bechlal is Neir Chochma. They're Yud from the Shemavayim. Which in Atzilus, generally speaking, one is connecting with Chochma, which as we said before is articulate intuition, which is symbolized by the Yud of the four-letter name of Hashem. Beis Avicha is the Neshama Vizikum Tarap in Olam Habriya. Vazdart Leicht Sfiras Habina Un Malchus Datzilus Vert Keser Dibriya. Beis Avicha refers to the Neshama as it emerges into Olam Habriya, which there illuminates the sphere of Bina. So Olam Habriya is a world of intellect. And the Rebbe tells us that it's characterized by the sphere of Bina, which we explained before. And by the line, Malchus, Datzilus, Vert, Keser, Debriya, the Rebbe is saying that the lowest level of the articulate intuition, which we said is characterized by Atzilus, that emerges into the analysis of Bina, of Bria. Undas Zakmen Suder Neshama. This is the call to the Neshama. This is what Hashem tells the Neshama. Lech lecha mi'artzecha u'milatecha m'besavicha. Azizel ha'rapkein fun yirshayesh and makar and the Allah oibir nemonte dargis. The Neshama must go out. It must emerge from its source and root in all the aforementioned lofty levels of spiritual consciousness. Bees all the way to El Oretz Asher Reka, to the land I shall show you. Ontenzich in an Eridish Gashmas thing goof, below itself into a earthly physical body. Vail Dafkin dem doesn't can Gashmas the Kikerper, because specifically in that physical body, Vetzitsu Kumensu, their Hoychar Aliyah. Only through the Neshama's emergence into a physical body will it ultimately come to a much higher elevation than it had been before. In the Birkas HaShachar, in Morning Brachas, Zaktman, in the part of Morning Brachas called the Lekai Neshama, Neshama Shenasat Bi Tahiriki. We say, Elikai Neshama Shenasat Bi, my God, the Neshama which you placed in me, it is pure. The Ata Meshamer Bekirbi, all the way to, and you guard it within me. So now the Rebbe is going to analyze this part of davening. Tahiriki, what does it mean the Neshama is pure? Made neshama viziyis in olam atzilus. That refers to neshama as it's in the place of intuition, the place of the articulate subconscious. Shinasata bi, which you placed within me, is nochecher. That refers to an even higher level. And that's because we say shinasata bi before tayrhi. So the Rebbe is reading this as we're going down, we're degrading as we go through the discussion of neshama. Shinasata bi comes before tayrhi. That's nochecher. It's a higher level than Atzilus. Und von das wegen nidert sie von dort in Arab zu Berasa. It nonetheless descends from there to the place of Berasa, Ulam Abriya, the world of the intellect, Yetzarta, Ulam Yetzira, the world of the emotions. Bis zu nafachta bi, to the point that ultimately Hashem blows the neshama, blows the consciousness into the physical body. In dem gashmistigen Guf. Dafke durch dem nefachte bi degrech di zi zu v'atem sham b'kirbi. And only through the being blown into the body do we ultimately reach the level of and you guard it within me. Vos kum fan asherish velcher is nach hecher von tohirhi. Un afilu fun shenasat bi. And the Rebbe says, this symbolizes this v'ato misham b'kirbi, you guard it within me, refers to a higher level of divinity, a more sublime expression of divinity than even the level of Nasatabi, which we said is higher than Atzilus, and Tahirhi, which is in the world of Atzilus, in the world of the articulate subconscious. And how does the Rebbe derive that V'atam Misham B'Kirbi refers to this very lofty level of divinity? V'rum Shoimer Dervosit, because a guard is Doch Starker, is stronger from Nishmar, is higher than that which is guarded. So we're taking something from the place of Nasatabi, and it's being guarded. So if it's being taken from the place of Nasatabi and being guarded, there are reasons that it must be the case that whatever level of divine consciousness that is being expressed and is doing the proverbial guarding, that must be higher than even the world of Atzilus. And thus named, Ela Oretz Asher Yareka. And this is the meaning of the words, to the land that I shall show you. Vos ich, that I, Atzmus, their Eibishter, Hashem himself, ultimate reality, alein, Vel dir weisen, vel dafke dolle mato if der welt, kemen emin atzmus. Vi a steht in deine Berg Dalid, as lis mach shavat fisa dey, ki im kasher tfisu mislabeshes, betoyra u mitzvisah. So here the Rebbe articulates one of the very radical ideas of Chassidus, which is to say that only here alone is neshama able to truly get in touch with Hashem, is neshama able to get in touch with ultimate reality. And he says, as it says in Tani Perek Dalet, we learn that the Kone Zayar, that leis machshava tisa beklal, no thought is able of grasping Hashem. So the Alter Rebbe editorializes, leis machshava tisa be, the only time that it is the case that thought can grasp Hashem is kasher tfiso mislabeshes b'teira mitzvaseh, when it is grasped and engarbed within the Torah and its mitzvahs. And this is a metaphysical concept which clearly requires much more explanation, but suffice it to say for now that the Rebbe is telling us that the only way that the neshama can ultimately reach ultimate reality, can reach what is ultimately real, the truest existence, can come most deeply in contact with Hashem, is only through by being in this physical body, by being in the embodied state. And the Rebbe adds that the Torah and mitzvahs was zayin loy b'shamayim, they are not in the heavens. But they're only in this physical world. At this point, the Rebbe transitions to discuss the neshama's ascent from below to above. Thus far, we've been discussing the neshama's descent from above to below, meaning the neshama's going from being an abstract, undefined, simple, spiritual, otherworldly, mental entity, and coming down into further levels of articulation in consciousness until ultimately it's ready to be embodied. Now the Rebbe is going to discuss the process of the embodied soul, of the embodied neshama, rising above the limitations of the body. Now the Rebbe is going to discuss, coming from our vantage point, coming from where most of us are, and rising up to a higher spiritual level. Is noch dem wie die Neshama hat durchgeführt, dem Lechel mi Erzecha, mil mail nemata. After the Neshama has executed its Lechlecha, its going out of its Eretz, out of its land, out of its desire from above to below, und sie ist erab von ihr alle ihre Dargis, und sie ist rein in dem Gufagashmi, and it comes down into the physical body. But kommt sie dem Koyach durchzuführen, dem Lechlecha mi Erzecha. It now gets the power to execute the lech lecha, the go out of your eretz, of your desire. Al aretz sereka, the desire I shall show you. Loit and sveitin perush, vidas is milmata lamaila. According to the second explanation, which we'll now explore, which is from below to above. The yitzara kumta charein, the mention, the erster, akta matanise. Mishosh and ninar lotzeis mime imay. The mention, Bereshis Rabba, Perek Lamed Dalid, section Yud, tells us that the Yetzer Hara enters a person, the evil inclination, the inclination to follow our lusts, to follow our temptations, enters the consciousness the moment it stirs to leave its mother's womb. Akta Matanise means that it shows up first in our consciousness, it shows up first in our awareness before we become aware of the possibility of living for a higher purpose. So we therefore need to have the power, we need to be empowered to overpower the Yitzhar. So when the Neshama descends down below, when the Neshama comes down below, it's given that power that it can emerge, that it can leave from the Artzacha, the Ratzin, the will of the animal soul. That although consciously humans are just sophisticated animals, we have the ability to rise above that. Umimeladtacha, what does it mean to rise above your birthplace? Fun Zaina Hanochis, from your assumptions, from what you take to be true. Those assumptions which you take to be true, given your worldly intellect and your worldly emotions. And
von nitke herike der Ziehung und Gewohnheit.
And Beis Avicha, your father's home, refers to those things which come to you as a result of bad habits and bad education.
Un ot von die alle Sachen soll er riskin.
And you're meant to emerge from all these things. Un soll gehen in Goel or Tzayreka.
In Shul and Beis Medrash. To the land I shall show you, which refers to the Shul and the Beis Medrash.
Vizdart in Hershni Yotzayim Tzneshalikis. That there, when a person is engaged in the Shul and the house of study, there, the will of the divine soul is manifest. And that is capable of nullifying one being controlled by their natural worldly wills.
The anachas and the natural velachin seichel. The assumptions of the natural worldly intellect.
And the natur veltachamidis und gewohnheiten von nefesh b'hamis.
And the natural emotions and habits of the animal soul.
Nachdem wie neshamat dur chitanim das genin in aveda.
After neshamah has accomplished the aforementioned tasks,
zi is arilius in the maratzecha melad tachon beis avicha for the nefesh b'hamis.
After the neshama, after your consciousness has emerged from its birthplace, its father's house, broadly speaking, from its animal self,
montman ba'ir hecher avoda,
it's required to engage in a higher work, a higher task.
To even transcend the desires of the divine soul.
What does it mean to go out of the will of the divine soul?
From the Ritzinus Nefshalakis, from the divine soul's desires.
Mailatacha, from Chokhma of Nefshalakis, to go out, to emerge from the intuition of the divine soul.
Umibes Avicha, and from the house of your father, from his Bainus, from Kedusha,
to emerge, to leave a place of contemplating holy things.
Elo Oretz Asherecha, to the land I shall show you.
Tsukum and Tsu, Amadrega, Vasis Hecher from Tambadas,
to come to a place which transcends reason.
Zu der Nacha und zu der Ia von Chochma.
Pnimius Abba, the interiority of the Father, was his Hecher von Seichel,
which is higher than the intellect, Afilu von Seichel l'Chochma.
And here the Rebbe is throwing out a bit of Kabbalah, but the point that the Rebbe is trying to express is that ultimately we even have to transcend our spiritual desires and come to a place where we transcend duality, which we transcend the distinction between Nefesh al-Likis, Nefesh Bahamas, between the animal and the divine, and we're purely in touch with Atzmos, we're purely in touch with Hashem Himself. The Rebbe uses the term Pnimius Abba, and it says in Eitz Chaim, and it's explained in many places by the Alter Rebbe, for example, in Sefer HaMarim Tovkuf Samechei, in the Alter Rebbe's Maimarim from the year 1805, he has two Maimarim which discuss this idea, L'hoven Inyan, Pnimius Abba, Pnimius Atik. What that means, is that we're meant to ultimately get in touch with the divine subconscious and understand what it is that we are actually meant to be doing. We're meant to be an expression of Elikus in this world, an expression of divinity in this world. And that's a madriga, usually, that only tzaddikim reach to. But the idea is that sometimes a person can even become trapped in davening and learning. A person can become trapped in doing holy things and not realize that the time or the place that they're in calls for them to engage in something else. And it's hard to know. Should I be engaged in holiness right now? Should I be engaged in the physical world right now? But the Rebbe is telling us that through sustained effort, a person can ultimately transcend both being a slave to the desires of the animal soul and even being a slave to the desires of the divine soul, and reach a place which transcends the duality, which transcends the either-or, and be in touch with Atzmus Alein, with Hashem Himself, who transcends both the spiritual and the physical, because He's the source of them both. This is actually one of the more challenging Kabbalistic Sichas in Likutei Sichas, certainly in Chalakim Aleph through Daled, which tend to be more down-to-earth. But the general message of the Sicha is pretty straightforward to articulate, so let's summarize. Hashem tells Avraham, Lech lecha me'artzecha.
Go for yourself out of your land.
Umi me'ladtecha, and the place you were born.
Umi beis avicha, and your father's house.
El ha'oretz asher areka.
To the land that I shall show you. Now, this is an interesting teaching,
It's an interesting conversation or an interesting directive which happens between Hashem and Avram over 3,000 years ago. But how is it relevant to us today? How does it play out in our lives today? How does it play out in our lives now? Or does it even play out in our lives at all? How often do we hear Hashem telling us something? How often do we hear Hashem commanding something to us? And isn't Avram much higher than us? Isn't Avram very beyond, removed from us in time, place, and in his level of tzidkus, his level of holiness, saintliness, and consciousness? So the Rebbe, in a sikha from the year Tovshin Yudalid, from the year 1954, which is the first sikha on the Kotei Sechas Chelek Aleph, explains that Lech Lecha Mi'artzecha Umbeis Avicha El Oretz Sharireka is a message, is a divine directive to every soul in every time, in every place. It is always relevant here and now. And let's see how that is. So the Rebbe says that Lech Lecha Mi'artzecha is a command from Hashem to every soul. And we're meant to hear it, we're meant to derive it from the Torah, but we're also meant to hear this command internally. And it's a command to every soul in two ways, in two directions. The Rebbe says it's a command from above to below, and from below to above. The Rebbe notes that in Pirkei Avos it says, Al korchoch atochai, against your will do you live. And this means that the neshama, that the soul, that the consciousness, that the mind, far transcends the pettiness, the pain, the pleasures of this physical world. The neshama is bounded, the neshama is trapped within the body. So a pure neshama, a pure consciousness, a pure mind, would never, in its right mind, ever enter a body. So Hashem tells the consciousness to emerge from its place of simplicity, to become articulated, to become defined, to become a fully formed consciousness, to become a consciousness which is not just pure consciousness, but rather a consciousness which has a desire, it has a will, and it expresses the divine will. A consciousness which has intellectual properties, emotional properties, instinctive properties, and finally active properties, can finally express itself in terms of thought, speech, and action. And ideally, this consciousness should be expressing all of these different facets, all of these different modes in a divine way. But we know that when this consciousness enters the world, it's not necessarily the case that it will do so. But nonetheless, Hashem tells the consciousness to emerge and then to become embodied. And in short, that's the message of Lech Lecha Mi'artzecha U'mimiladtecha U'mibesavicha Ela Oretz Asherereka. So we're not going to unpack the Kabbalistic symbolism that the Rebbe uses to derive this evolution, this emergence of consciousness from the pasuk with. You can listen to the whole shiur if you'd like to understand that. But let's move to the second part of the sikha, which is perhaps a little bit more actionable. So the Rebbe says, just as the neshama needs to evolve, needs to emerge, needs to go on a journey, a lech lecha, from above to below, from its place of pure consciousness to a place of embodiment, so too the neshama needs to emerge from a place of embodiment to a place of transcending being stuck, transcending being imprisoned in the body, to be in the body but not of the body, to be in the body but to use the body as a tool, not for its entire reality, just to be the body and its will. And the Rebbe analyzes the pasuk now as follows. Lech lecha me'artzecha. Hashem tells every neshama, Hashem tells every embodied soul, go out from your eretz. The Medrash in Bereishit Rabbah tells us that eretz is Milshoin Rotza. It shares letters, it shares a sound with the word will. So the Rebbe is analyzing following that Artzacha means will. Hashem tells the soul, emerge from your will. Emerge from the will of your evil inclination. Transcend just being a smart animal. Cows like to eat, cows like to sleep, cows like to play. Transcend being a person who just wants to eat, sleep, and play, albeit in a very sophisticated way or in a more intellectual way. Mimeladtecha, says the Rebbe, means transcend your nature.
transcend your natural worldly emotions, transcend your natural worldly assumptions. Don't necessarily accept what people tell you. Don't necessarily accept the assumptions that you come with. Don't necessarily accept what they say on the radio or in the newspaper. Critically analyze things, question things, and try to rise above. Don't just accept because that's what you're told. Leave meiladtecha, leave the place that you were born. Don't be defined by where you were born. And finally, mi beis avicha, from your father's house. The Rebbe says here, that means that we're meant to transcend any poor education that we received and any bad habits. Basically, the Rebbe seems to be saying that meiladtecha is nature and beis avicha is nurture, transcend your nature and your nurture, but it's a little bit more layered and nuanced than that because the Rebbe is translating meiladtecha as both your natural instincts and your hanachas and your axioms and your assumptions, which are things which derive from the outside world. And he understands beis avicha as your education and your habits, and your education and your habits are generally defined by the way you were nurtured, although your habits could be a little bit more complex. They might also derive from your nature. But the point is that the Rebbe is saying we need to transcend all these things. We can't be controlled by them. We can't be limited by them. That's the call. That's the task that Hashem tells every neshama. And what should you do on this journey? So first, you're meant to go El Haaretz Asher Yareka, to the land I shall show you. And here the Rebbe gives us something of a classical idea. The land that I show you, the land that Hashem shows us, as the Rebbe, is the shul or the Beis Medrash, the house of davening, the house of contemplation, and the house of study. Because in those places, when a person is actually engaged, when a person is connecting in the realm of study or the realm of contemplation, a person's divine soul, a person's higher will, a person's higher self is usually manifest. A person is being more serious, and a person is connecting to a higher level of being. But says the Rebbe, you can't stop there. You can't stop in a place of mere immersion within the world of the Nefesh Elikis, because that's not the end of the journey, and that is not ultimately what Hashem sent us to this world for. But rather, we also need to transcend the Nefesh Elikis. So what does that mean? So the Rebbe now analyzes the pasuk as follows. Lech lecha mi'artzecha, transcend the desires of Nefesh HaLikis. Nefesh HaLikis wants to learn and daven all day. Perhaps that's not your calling at this moment. The Nefesh HaLikis, your divine consciousness, wants to be engaged in divine ideas all day. Perhaps that's not what you're meant to be doing right now. And the Nefesh HaLikis wants to be involved in davening all day, in divine contemplation all day. Perhaps that's not what's meant to be doing either. But rather, El Haaretz Asher Areka. You need to go to the land I shall show you. A person needs to transcend both the desires of Nefesh HaLikis, Nefesh HaBahamas. Nefesh HaLikis, Nefesh HaBahamas derive from a dualistic perspective, a perspective on reality in which there are two realities. There's the holy and there's the mundane. There's the good and the evil. And the Alter Rebbe, the Rebbe, call us to transcend, to go beyond good and evil. Of course, doesn't mean to throw away morality. But rather, it means that sometimes, meaning first of all, we certainly don't want to be controlled by our animal self. We certainly don't want to be the sophisticated cow whose whole life is lived in order to eat, sleep, and play. But humans do that in a more complex way than cows do. We certainly don't want to be there. But we also don't want to be chained just to engaging in religious behavior because that's what we do. That's what Nefesh HaLikis wants. But rather, we need to understand what does this moment call for. Some days and some seasons of life, we are in fact meant to be totally immersed within the realm of religious study and practice. But in other times, we're actually meant to go out into the world and we're meant to engage the world and engage the world within many different modes. Of course, always illuminated by the Torah. Of course, always illuminated by our davening. But life is not necessarily always meant to be lived in the Beis Medrash. And the Rebbe says that this Aretz Asher Areka means that we're meant to channel the consciousness of Atzmus. The Rebbe calls this Pnimius Abba, the interiority of the Father, which Chassidus, based on the Tzchaim, tells us that Pnimius Abba is Pnimius Atik, that the interiority of the Father means the interiority of the subconscious. that through this avoda, through this spiritual labor of working hard on oneself to transcend their natural desires, to transcend the will of the Nefesh HaBahamas, to transcend the Nefesh HaBahamas's nature and nurture, and then ultimately to transcend the will of the Nefesh HaLikis and to not be controlled by the desires of Nefesh HaLikis, through that work, a person ultimately reaches a place of non-duality. They become a channel for divine consciousness. They become a channel for the divine will, for whatever it is that Hashem wants. Because unlike Noach, who engaged in very limited outreach to his generation, Avraham was a person who engaged in outreach. Avraham was a person who engaged in the world, and he did that through the flow of divine intuition he was able to receive by transcending either slavishly following the desires of Nefesh HaLikis or slavishly following the desires of Nefesh HaBahamas. And that is why, no matter what trials were thrown in Avraham's way, Avraham was able to overcome the Asar Nesenis. He was able to overcome the 10 trials that Hashem threw at him. And that is also why Avraham merits eternity as being the father of the Jewish people. So the lesson for us is that we should listen to that inner voice which is telling us, Lech Lecha Mi'aretzcha Umi'Beis Avicha. And we should engage in the work of Lech Lecha Mi'aretzcha Umi'Beis Avicha. And why should we do that? Because that is our soul's mission. That is what our embodied soul's mission is. That is our mission in this world. But when you engage in this Avaida, it also comes with the very nice fringe benefits of, first, that you're able to overcome whatever challenges come your way, that you're able to understand what it is that Hashem wants of you in any given situation, and ultimately you inherit eternity and bequeath that to your children and those who follow your path.